Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left for friends when his soul was set ablaze.
Hello, everybody out there in Radioland. This is Mike Austin, creator and host of Casual Saints, where I take my sweet and lovely time getting to know some of the most fascinating people on the planet. And they are usually and almost always very compassionate people who are very unusual and do their own things in their own ways. And I meet these people in a variety of ways. And today's guest, Chris Eaton, is just an amazing guy in so many ways. Especially when you look at his background, you go, look at all the stuff this guy's done. And he doesn't wear it on his sleeve. You got to ask him, or you got to talk to him, or you got to look at his background. So, thank you for being with me, Mr. Eaton.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate this opportunity.
So, Chris and I met through the Four Winds Society, which is Alberto Vildo and Marcelo Lobos' school that Alberto founded a long time ago. Chris got to know each other, and Chris and I don't talk to a lot of people in class, which is kind of curious. You would think that we'd be talkers, but we don't. It's all about what we want to talk about and values and things like that. So I got to look at his background, and the first thing that was intriguing about Chris is he's a death doula. Now, I've known a few people, and I co-produced a conference in 2015 called Science, Death, and Consciousness. We had death doulas there. It was mainly academics, and the conference was thought up by a friend of mine. And every so often, somebody comes along and goes, wait, what do they have that I can learn from? And what do they have that nobody else has? And Chris has got that. Now, Chris is not just a death doula. Look at his background. He's got, 13 years with the military, doing very unusual stuff. And you can find a LinkedIn profile for this guy, too, which I was very surprised at. It's Chris Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, if you want it. Do you have a website that you use, or you just let people find you organically?
For now, I just have an open Facebook profile and my open LinkedIn for people that would like to stay connected.
Okay. I'm pretty sure you got plenty of things to do. Chris is also a father, and he's got his own story, which he'll probably share a bit of that with you as we go onward into this. And one of the most intriguing things I found about him is his combination of military background with what he does now. And when you look at his LinkedIn page, which is 7 pages long, and he doesn't go into things at length, he doesn't overword things. He says, I love the human experience, consciousness, and how to live the life to the fullest. My journey began outside of Chicago and has taken me around the world to 44 countries in which my life has been fully enriched with the various cultures and religions of the men and women I've worked alongside. I've experienced joy and hate and all in between, particularly from my deployments in support of operations throughout Central and Southwest Asia to Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom. I've learned the world is large and yet small and neatly interconnected with one heartbeat. And his company name is Little, I don't know if it's Little or not. Maybe Little means one guy right now, but there's probably going to be more knowing Chris later. It's Bliss Key Incorporated. And he describes it as helping people through their darkest hours. And before that, I'm not even going to go into his military background, but he was the kind of guy that would help direct troops. Battalion leader, is that Chris? Correct, Chris?
No, just captain.
Senior just captain? Okay. Yeah. Just captain. Like, well, I know.
I did lead.
You did what?
I did lead. I think eventually 100 plus some people, but yeah.
So I know a lot of people. I know a few military people, and the ones that I know that I want to talk to are very unusual people, which maybe are to a number. So if Chris chooses to illustrate what he's talking about with his stories in the military, I would like that, but I'm not going to ask him to talk about it because why? He's also a diver, teaches diving, as in scuba. So I'm just going to open up with one of my favorite questions, which is this. What's new and exciting for you these days?
New and exciting. Actually, discovering human consciousness and what that actually means has been my newest passion. So I spend, 2 to 3 hours a day meditating and probably another 4 to 6 hours reading, studying, watching videos all about human consciousness. Somewhere in the U.S. curriculum, they failed to put that in there, so I have 39 years of miseducation I have to re-educate myself on. So, yeah, I am hugely passionate about human consciousness, particularly staying aware of what it is that we're doing, feeling, thinking, and having options to choose what to do with those thoughts, emotions, and experiences that we come across.
Which makes you a great candidate not to be a member of groupthink, because you're focusing on inward things. And that's very much lacking these days. There just aren't a lot of people doing that. There's more coming up, but I don't see a big balance yet. So did you have any idea you're going to be doing this kind of thing, 10 years ago, or when you were a kid or anything?
No, I repeatedly tell myself the guy that I was 15 months ago, I would not be friends with right now. He was living a much different lifestyle than I am. And by that, the person that I used to be that I was a professional in was being an observer, but not of self. I was a subject matter expert of observing my environment, which is why I was in the military, why I was a lifeguard, why I was really good at a business analyst, because I could take almost anything in front of me, organize it, sort it out, figure out what was working, what wasn't. I'm an analyst. And I would just be able to point things out. I'm a behavioral analyst as well. I was in the security world, so when you're overseas in the military, you're trying to observe your environment, and if you see something that looks like it might be potentially out of the ordinary or worse, could harm someone, you had to be able to see that before it came. So we studied facial micro expressions, how people, the looks that are on their face, what are they doing with their hands, what are they doing when they sit, are they antsy, what sort of emotions are they showing. So I would be able to see, like, are they trying to hide something. I studied lie detection. I went through many courses on that, of how to determine if someone is lying to me. And so you study the art of all of that, and it was fascinating, and I became very, very good at all that, but I had never paused to analyze me.
So
that's what focuses on.
Why would the old Chris not necessarily be your friend right now?
All my experiences in the military, or pretty much ever since I was born, I thought that I was everything that I had experienced. So I was Chris. I was the military guy. I was all the labels that I had acquired. I had gone to college. I had a mechanical engineering degree. And so if you asked me, who are you, I would have told you the list of all my accomplishments. But what that does inside my head was say, I am all these things. Mm-hmm. But I am also not just the good things I've done, I'm also the bad things that I've done and experienced. Mm-hmm. That gets confusing when you've experienced a lot of harmful things, particularly the things that you experience in a war zone, or maybe you grew up in a hostile family. Mm-hmm. And as you experience those things, even the movies that you see and you expose yourself to, your mind doesn't know the difference between it all, so it sums it all up and it says, hey, this is who you are. But that's wrong. And it wasn't until 2023 when I realized, because I met a psychotherapist down here in Florida, and then I met a shaman, and they helped me see that I am not all my experiences, and I am not the emotions, which just simply pass through me. And once I realized that, I had to be like, well, who am I then? And that's when real growth began.
You're describing the same kinds of things that other people who have been down that path before have done. Similar. No, I don't want to say the same. Okay. Everybody's different. And it's really interesting to hear you talk about that. And an old acquaintance I haven't talked to for years who sat in front of this character named Osho, who goes used to go by Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, said to him one day, tell me, when you're not thinking, where do you go? Where is you? And you've done a similar process there, and you're doing what a lot of people have done who got back to the core and back to themselves. So if I were looking for somebody to refer to a death doula, I'd want the death doula to be able to do that. Because otherwise, if you don't know yourself, you aren't going to focus. You aren't going to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to my question is it's only been 15 months or so. But you didn't know it was coming. You weren't aware of it, right?
No.
And that's really interesting because I've watched you when we're talking and in class and sort of listen to you. And your intuition is really good, which means you kind of suppressed it for a long time or you used it a different way or a lot of things, you know. So how do you play? How does Chris play?
What do you mean by play?
What's fun for you, dude?
Work hard, play hard. That was my mantra for, I don't know, 15 plus years. So you study hard, you work hard, but then you go out and you have fun. And for me, fun is scuba. I love the water. There's nothing more tranquil than being underwater with the creation of, I mean, the water covers, what, 70-80% of the earth. And it's less traveled than the earth. So I think less than 2% of the under the water has actually been discovered and adventured by man. I'm also an adrenaline junkie. So I don't just do normal scuba diving. I like de-kitting and crawling into caves and stuff under the water and seeing where less people have traveled. Rarity, beauty, all of that is fascinating. And then, yeah, when you're underwater, it's just tranquil. You don't have to, there's no conversation. It's just experiencing awe.
So what's the deepest dive you've been as far as feet?
300.
That's pretty deep, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it was deep. We had 8 tanks, and I think it was a 7-hour dive.
You were underwater 7 hours.
Yeah, you have recreational diving and then you have commercial diving. But then in between, there's something called tech diving. And so tech diving is below recreational but not professional commercial diver where they wear the hard hats and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires a lot more planning. And it's a lot more complicated, a lot higher risk. You can't go direct to the surface because your body has to detoxify all the nitrogen that's in the system. And so in order to do that, you go down to the bottom and you only get maybe 2-3 minutes at the furthest depth. Take a couple pictures just for bragging rights because if there's no photos, it never happened. And then once you're on your way back up, you have to slowly make your way back up so the air bubbles and the nitrogen can exit your system and you won't get nitrogen narcosis or air embolism or something along there, you know, those things that could maybe kill you. And so you have to sit at certain depths for a certain amount of times until the nitrogen leaves the system. And you're using calculations and you're using depth gauges, things like that. For some people, it's boring, but I like the adventure and the bragging rights afterwards, especially when you also have the brotherhood. I mean, mm-hmm. brothers just... So whoever you're down there with afterwards, it's a story that you're going to be able to talk about for life.
But, there was a guy, Lyon and I just met last month. Amazing guy. He's a lifeguard at a pool. As you probably remember, I swim with her a bit. And he's 70. He's a lifeguard. And he was a commercial diver for a long time. And his one of his old bosses just called him back and said, hey, come back and work with us. I don't know if I can promise you being in the water, but, you know, manage these guys. He said, yes. So I didn't know much of what you said. You know, I don't know. I've never experienced it, right? Best I've done is snorkeling. But big props to you for doing that. And I get the adventure bit because I've done auto racing. Okay. Yes, I have been an adrenaline junkie sometimes. In my case, that wasn't always a good thing. But a lot of times it was a very eye-opening experience in consciousness, which is, I eventually figured out that's why I was doing it. Oh, okay. Okay.
The cool part is connecting all the dots. So in scuba and swimming, you're doing a lot of breath work. You're trying not to consume as much oxygen as you can. And so you are slowing down your breathing pattern in order to consume less oxygen over time. And in doing so, there's something hypnotic about it. It relaxes the body. Once you're able to relax, because a lot of people have fear about going scuba, but for those that get over their fears of scuba and they actually go into there, you'll find a lot of us in the scuba world are very relaxed, chill. And I think a lot of it has to do because of the concentration on breathing, which I didn't know this at the time. But fast forward to today when I've been studying consciousness and all the breath work that the Tibetans and the Buddhists and the yogis and many other practitioners of the consciousness world are practicing that on the daily.
Yes, they are. And it's really curious. And you're obviously, I would make a pun and say, preternaturally observant guy. You just notice what's going on. And there are traditions that I've studied that are thousands of years old, and they focus on breath work. And at first, when I read that one, I was like, what are they talking about? What's that going to do? Well, a lot. Unless you try it, you don't know what it's going to do. And that showed up later in adrenaline sports for me, where I'd be on a fairly high-speed racetrack doing, sometimes triple-digit speeds. And I'd noticed that I was just calm. And it didn't really make sense because you would think you'd be all freaked out. No, you're not necessarily. If you're in your groove, the half-mile stretch of one of the raceways where you got time to check your gazes and breathe, and you, by the end of it, my car was doing 120 miles an hour. But I was just calm. Like, wow. And my breath was very much part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing could really bother me. I knew what was happening around me. And I would imagine that same thing underwater. You're going to notice things, either kinesthetically or in your mind. So that's a very potent observation you made.
I'll share a couple stories.
Please.
I was scuba diving. We were in a cave. We went in. My tanks got stuck in one of them. My instructor was on the external side of where it was, and I was on the internal, meaning I was stuck in the cave. My kit was stuck in the rocks between me, and I couldn't escape. And I just sat there trying to kick it out and wedge it out, and he was trying to do the same, but we were running out of air. And so I'm there in Thailand, and I'm just seeing my gauge start dropping. I was like, Chris, if you don't calm your breath down, you're going to run out of air a lot faster, and you're not really going to be able to think, because when you're in that fear state mind, you consume more oxygen. So you have to convince yourself that you are completely fine and chill. And so you slow your breath work down, and that gives you more options for what it is that you're going to do. So I realized that I was going to near panic, and I took all of my kit off. I took a deep breath, and I figured out something to leverage. I freed my kit free, and I got out, and I met back up with my instructor underwater where he was getting ready to surface, and he's like, "Are you okay?" We got up to the surface, and I was like, "Yeah, man, I'm fine." That was a little bit scary, thinking you were going to die in a cave. But then let's go back to Iraq, Afghanistan. The importance of breathwork there in the military, especially in the elite forces, we learn breathwork. You learn to box breathe, which is the breathe in for four, hold four, out four, hold for four. And you do that in order to regulate yourself. So when you're about to go on to a mission or you're going to go into a house to find someone to take them, you don't want to be there in an angered state or an overexcited state, because if you are you going to be reactory? Are you accidentally going to shoot someone that doesn't need to be shot? So you need to be able to regulate yourself, and they use breathwork. And then we use breathwork afterwards because you have the adrenaline rush of, wow, I almost got shot at, or I did get shot. And you have to calm yourself down so you're not making irrational choices. And then over the last year, I've studied all these other people, including the Tibetans and stuff, but it turns out that A-list celebrities are also using breathwork. When they're getting ready to do a scene and they want to cry, they breathe in a certain way so they get extra emotional. If they want to get into an angered state of mind, they'll breathe in a different pattern. So I absolutely love breathwork, Mike.
This is Casual Sense. That's Chris Eason. I'm Mike Austin. We'll be right back after a brief break. Thank you.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left for friends when his soul was set ablaze.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left for friends. When his soul was set ablaze.
Hi, I'm Mike Austin. This is my Casual Saints show. Now back to my chat with Chris Eaton, Death Doula. Thank you very much.
Wow. You're the first guy I've talked to, ex-military, who has talked to me about breath work. Now, it would make sense that it's out there. There's a book called Stealing Fire by Kotler and Wheel. I've got an acquaintance that has a chapter in there, and other people I know about from the book. And they talk in the first chapter about how to create teams in the military and what they do.
and to get them to communicate without thinking, without expressing it. And that's just, wait, what did they say? And it's very, very good. So it would make sense that the military wants to co-opt some of those methods. It concerns me a little bit, but you know, it is whatever it is. People are going to do what they want to do anyway. So that's really interesting to hear, though. And I didn't know the celebrities were doing it. And it also inclines and encourages me to do more of it because I am willful and I like doing stuff just because somebody tells me to. I won't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I can see the ability in every aspect of life. You come home, your wife calls you, and she's like, hey, I wrecked the car, and I'm supposed to come home, and I'm supposed to be cool and calm about it, or maybe my kids are being turds, or maybe my boss is a jerk, or maybe I'm at work and I'm about to go into a meeting with someone I really don't like. And so I can just take 30, 60 seconds, do a couple breaths, calm myself down, go in, and now I'm more resilient when I'm in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less reactory to whoever it is I'm dealing with.
Yeah, and I'd done that a long time ago in Diz before I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know, I couldn't necessarily repeat the steps for somebody else. Couldn't say, here's what you do. But a lot of that came from a lot of meditation. You said you're meditating 2 or 3 hours a day, which is very impressive. I don't even do that now. Okay. If I get in an hour and a half, I feel pretty good about it, but it takes me practice to want to do that. So name some heroes and heroines for me for you. Who do you admire? It can be anybody or any deity. I don't care. What floats your boat, man?
I grew up with a very heavy Christian influence. But I'm careful with how I say that because I am not an organized religion person. I'm actually against organized religion. I don't think most people know how to lead a group of spiritual people, and religions were formed with all these, you know, like I grew up in Catholicism for 7 years, and then I was non-denominational, then Baptist, then Gnostic, then agnostic, and then Buddhist at one point, and now I'm a combination. But I've always admired the person of Christ and the Buddha. So between those two, and there's actually quite a bit of books about the correlation between the two of the practices that they had in order to calm themselves and make sure that every day that they woke up and they realized what their purpose was in life and that their oneness with humanity, with nature, with everything. They came to a stillness, and it's mm-hmm. in that stillness and that silence of coming to silence, and that's why meditation works so well. So those are the heroes of my life, or people that have mastered the ability to regulate self. I articulate it like this, is every day I wake up and I take account of where I'm at, how I'm feeling, and what's going on. And most days, Mike, I can pull out my violin and I can tell you everything that's wrong with me. Injuries in my back from the military. Oh, my kids have this. This is that. I've got a busy schedule. I've got to spend $5,000 to fix my car. You know, we all have those things that we can stack up, and I could show you, like, I have the worst day ahead of me than you do. But I put my violin down, and the Dalai Lama talks, and he says when he wakes up in the morning, he thinks, today I woke up and I took a breath. Other people did not. And he sits with that thought. And that's where I got into the death work. Because when you think about it...
You mean that's what inspired you, is that kind of thing?
All of us suffer. All of us will die. And until we come to realize that, can you really truly appreciate the breath that you breathe and the life that you're given, and then you treat it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes easier the more mm-hmm. that you know death.
I have some friends that wrote a book called The End of Suffering, co-wrote it, 3 people. I talked to them earlier this year, but, you know, I've never really read that book, and one of the authors gave it to me a long time ago. He's a very sweet guy. He's very old now. So And for me, the first time I really thought methodically about the big religions and the comparisons between East and West recently was when I read Paramahansa's book, Autobiography of the Yogi. I went, oh. And the guy's on the spot. The guy's in the groove. And I didn't really study Buddhism when I was a kid. And what I find is that a lot of people have sort of Buddhistic trends, or they, you know, follow one sort of religion. And like you did, one of my oldest friends, was in Catholicism for a while. Then he got a pass and he's 11. His mom wanted him to go to catechism all the time, and his dad said, no, we're done with that. His dad was first-generation Irish with an accent. He talked like this. He was very sweet. My friend turned out to be an artist and a biologist. Okay, he's a very impressive guy. But it's all about what he wanted to do and who he wanted to become. And I know other scholars and experiencers and even people that have talked to the Christ and seen him at a distance, if you will, including a remote viewer, including George McMullen. Another guy comes to mind, Sean O'Leary. Sean's his own story. So you just said organized religion is not a thing for you, which I like, because I find that organized religion tends to want to control people. How can we manage them? And when you look at their canons, their books, you go, this is really not what you should do to people to get them to do what you think is the best thing. It's controlling. You can't do that. And people just, Marla has family who are staunch Christians and just like take the Bible literally. And no, you can't do that because it stops their thought. But I think what a lot of people find out about that is they find it comforting that somebody's doing their thinking for them. But you can't really do that.
I am Mike Austin. This is my show, Casual Saints. I'm talking with death doula Chris Eaton. We're going to take a brief break. I'll be right back and look forward to having you back with us. Thank you.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.
Shh. Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
When you need quality auto parts warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the parts specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto Parts Warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Auto Parts Warehouse.
Everybody go! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake. And you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.
This is the Casual Saints Show. I'm Mike Austin. Now back to my chat with death doula Chris Eaton. Thank you.
it doesn't work, you know? You got to take responsibility for what you're doing and what you're thinking. But you already know this. Okay, so I didn't expect the Buddha and the Christ. A phrase I see every once in a while now is Christ consciousness. And yeah, that works for me. There's a guy I knew named George McMullen, and I was talking to the wife of a friend who had met George before I met him. I met him finally in 2007. And she asked him one time, so George, was Jesus real? He goes, yeah. Did he do all his miracles? Yeah. Did he die on the cross? No. He was given a choice. They said, you can either beat feet, they're out of here, otherwise we're going to have to put you up on one of those things. She said, I'll see you later. Now, if I were to meet that guy, I would have done the same thing. It's like, okay. So our histories, the way they're written, aren't always accurate. Which perhaps brings up another really interesting observation for us. What would you call direct perception? What does that mean to you?
Direct perception is something that I experience in and of myself. It's one of my 5-6 senses, if we want, that experiences it, and I see it, and that is me. Everything else is from a different perspective, at a different time, a different era, different biases, and we all know that whoever wins the battle writes the story. Very rarely do we get to see both the story of the loser and the winner. So that's where, like, I look at all these world religions, and almost all of them started out of love, out of just pure ecstasy, bliss, beauty, and they just, their life changed. The story of Buddha, his life completely changed. The story of Bhagavad Gita, his life completely changed. Christ completely changed. Why? What was it that they were doing on the daily? I don't care about, or at least for the purpose of this conversation, what happens after death. Let's just talk about how to live. How do you live the best life? And the best life is taking accountability for all that we have and experience. It's coming to silence in terms of who we are. It's community. It's coming to peace. And it's something in that stillness of peace. You know, you talked about the clairvoyances and all the other clairs that exist out there. Is where do all the miracles, what's happened to the miracles throughout the years? That comes in that stillness. Someone that is able to silence their thoughts and emotions and come to complete stillness is one that is able to perform the miracles. And that's where the Buddha and monks from not just Buddhism, but Christian and all the mysticisms of the world are able to still perform miracles. But yet we don't talk about them.
Well, we don't talk about them, but the reasons for that vary. And if consciousness and joy are the goals, and you want to reproduce those things, what are the means to do that? And inner stillness is, of course, very important, and meditation is very important. And we haven't changed as a species in quite a long time. Depends on who you talk to and what they say about it, but I mean physiologically. Okay. Yeah, there's environmental influences. At the same time, our experiences are very consistent with certain categories across time. And you can look at old texts, old stuff, you know, as old as you can find. And you can go, oh yeah, they're having this kind of experience. So the word direct perception comes up in Hinduism, in the very few texts that I've studied. I'm not a scholar. Okay, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to read a lot of books all the time. And then the next time I heard it from somebody I trusted and admired was Alberto. He used that direct perception. Like, whoa, wait, what? And it helped me know the guy's real. So I think, I feel that experience and those skill sets are really important in your work and what you do. Because we live in cultures that are taught to ignore death. Not a good thing. Don't have to. That's silly. I was thinking this morning before we talked. Last I looked, and I, can't trust this number. It said something like 27-28% of the world believes in reincarnation. I don't know about that. I think it's probably higher. Okay, but I don't know. Or at least they believe in life after death. Reincarnation is a different thing. So when you say that you're a death doula, can you describe for us the kinds of things you would do if somebody's ready to cross over?
If you have the luxury of dying in bed instead of tragically, like an accident or a sudden heart attack, but you know, like you're given knowledge either of age or you have a disease and the doctor says you've got 4 months, and it really doesn't even matter then. Everyone has to do a life review. Everyone has a life review when you know that you're going to die, and we call it the pearly gates, where you're going to have a conversation with St. Pete, and you're going to talk about the good and the bad that you did. And then in the Egyptians, all the way back to the ancients, there's the life review of the ostrich feather weighing against the heart of the human. And so it's an interesting concept, but in reality, in practicality, when I'm sitting next to the dying person, many times they are bringing up and they're reviewing stuff that they went through their life, not just the good things where they're sitting there reminiscing and they're telling you the good, but they also have to sit there and they think about the bad of everything they've done. And how do you let go of that? How do you deal with the intense emotions that comes when something you thought that you had bottled and buried arises? It's one of the most intense emotional moments of there, of everything that I have acquired in life is going to be gone. Every relationship that I know is going to disappear. And then you have the question of, well, what happens to all of my loved ones when I leave? And so as the death doula, it's my job to give you the information that you need. Some of that's legality, so I can help you rest and let you know with, you know, setting up power of attorneys and all of that, so your family is legally, they're able to take care of you and they're able to make the right decisions. We can set you up with a trust so your money doesn't get taxed and all that. A lot of people have concern about money. But then the question is what happens to my loved ones afterwards? And so that's where sometimes we get into deeper conversations.
So that, my friends, is Chris Eaton, death doula, a remarkable man. I'm Mike Austin. This is Casual Sense. If you'll please wait for after the break, we'll come back with more of this wonderful conversation and tell you what he knows.
Your reach is just a single step away. Someone left footprints with his soul set ablaze.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Your reach is just a single step away. Someone left footprints with his soul set ablaze.
This is the Casual Saint Show. I'm Mike Austin. Now back to my great conversation with Chris Eaton, death doula. Thank you.
So it's an entire process of letting go of everything that we've acquired over our X amount of years, knowing you can't take anything with you in the afterlife. except some would argue you can take your knowledge of the principles that you've learned.
What do you feel about that?
I think it's our duty as humans to progress individually when we come to Earth. Is whatever hand we were dealt, we do our best to come out a little bit higher, a little bit more knowledgeable, a little bit more graceful. There's no such thing as perfection. We all have our skills, and then we have our lack of skills. And so you just do the best. I think, what is it, in Buddhism, the greater good, lesser evil, is the golden rule of life. I think almost all religions or spiritual practices from ancients to modern talk about the golden rule to one degree or another. Do more good than harm. So I think that's our duty in life. But for the dying person, it's comforting them. It's helping them get to that settling. And so physically, setting up the room is feng shui, getting them to what they see allows them to relax, what they smell allows them to relax, what they hear. No one wants to hear all these medical things going on and off, so maybe I can have a harp or something that's playing in the background. And it's getting them to an utmost place of peace. And we've found that the more at ease I can make their mind, their emotions, their environment, they will die with a smile on their face and fade away versus someone that doesn't want to deal with any of it. It can be a very scary experience.
Yeah, chronic. It is. If you haven't gotten yourself ready for it, it's like anything else. You know, you thought about it. You planned it, whatever. So I've known people that did, one guy comes to mind, knew him well, who did his own suicide. He was very old. He went, okay, I'm done. Okay. He taught consciousness too.
Mm.
And I know of other people that fight it. I'm not saying, you know, which way I'd be or not. It's like, you know, I'm intense sometimes. But it's all a matter of, are you getting ready for it or not? And, you know, do you want to do it? So we put on that conference in 2015. It's not my field. It's your field, right? And I don't think about this. A lot of people were very knowledgeable about it. What we found was people like attorneys and doctors and nurses and caregivers needed to find out about this and what to do because people just didn't know in general. You know, I had one of my actually, I still got to make the introduction. One of our surgeon friends, who is now 60, we met her in 2017 in Egypt. When I mentioned you, she said, I want to talk to him. I spend a lot of uncompensated time counseling families. Now, she doesn't make a lot of money for a surgeon. She makes a pretty good amount of money for a surgeon. And she's very sweet. And she'll do the right thing for the patient instead of the hospital, which is very unusual from what I've seen. There will be a need for this out there. And I was thinking this morning before we talked, oh, well, especially now, without going into all the reasons why, you know, I'll say the word plandemic and just leave it at that and people will get the concept. It's like,
yeah. I was going to write off of that is there's words that we throw out there, midlife crisis, trauma, traumatic, chronic pain. I just call it overstimulus. There's times where there's just way too much happening in the body, in the mind, in the thoughts, emotions, life, business, work, personal. Then you turn the TV on and it's like blah, 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 blah. And eventually you're just like, enough, enough. How do you bring yourself down in this chaos? Because we're being fed massive amounts of chaos. If you have a smartphone, you're being fed tons of chaos. How do you navigate that?
Yep. How do you put it at a distance?
Yeah.
How do you make the digital slave device that's tracking you your servant, if you can, right? There are, by the way, newer phones that I've read about. I haven't looked into them carefully, that are dumb. They don't let you track them.
Oh,
what a concept. But that, of course, changes your experience of bringing things down from the cloud, which maybe is not a bad thing. So if somebody asks you, which they're doing now, to give them a one-paragraph explanation of what consciousness is, what would you say? Human consciousness.
You're able to answer, who am I, with confidence. There is, I like to visualize consciousness in this story. You have a boardroom. There's a chairman that's in charge of this boardroom, in charge of a company. Who is that person that's in charge of you? Is it your body that's running the show, and your mind is just the little angel and devil on the soldier on your shoulders? Is it your mind, and your mind is rationally thinking, oh, I should do this, I should do that? You have your mom, your dad that are sitting at the board table. I don't know. Who's your influencers? Who's in your life? And you're able to define that.
I like this.
So at my boardroom, I have my emotions, which I can check in with, and I'm like, okay, what is happening within my emotions? Where am I experiencing? I have my mind, where I'm like, okay, rational mind, what are we thinking? What's happening logically in front of me? Explain to me what you're seeing. I have my biases. Okay, so I'm currently in this environment. What am I seeing? What are my biases? Am I thinking too much from, you know, I've had a heavy Christian influence, or I've had a heavy Caucasian influence, or a heavy, you know, wealthy influence, or military influence? Am I thinking too much from that perspective? And so I'm running through all these different scenarios to find out what is the truth that I am currently experiencing, seeing, feeling, hearing, all of it. And then from there, who's the person that is taking all that information? That is consciousness. I take all of that into a bundle, and I make a choice on what I'm going to do with it. I do not react. I make a choice. That is consciousness.
That's really good.
Yeah. So how many people are at your board table? I have a lot. And sometimes I'll fire people. Like when I was born, I used to have my mom and my dad. I love my mom and my dad, but they have their limitations. So sometimes I'll invite them into the boardroom. So I bring an outside person in for a temporary moment, and then I have them exit, but they're not part of my permanent.
We'll be back after a short break. Thank you.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left the print when his soul was set ablaze.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're rich, it's just a single step away. Someone left footprints with his soul set ablaze.
This is Casual Saints. Now, Chris Eaton and I will finish our conversation. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And temporary advisor.
Yeah. Everyone can, you don't need to have outside influences that make your decisions. So that is consciousness, and I won't go deeper than that.
Okay. Good enough. Everybody's answer is different.
Yeah.
I had one guy wouldn't answer it. He said, he can't define it, so why are you asking me? I went, okay, sure. I know him pretty well. Okay, so would you be so kind as to share one or two of the most mysterious, scientifically inexplicable things you've seen Felter done? Meaning, if you're talking to a scientist, they said, no, you're nuts. It didn't happen because there's no theory to prove it. And you would go, well, I was there and it did.
My two favorite stories, I've always had premonition or whatever you want to call it, deja vu. And I never really understood why, but I would have this very strong voice, not audible, but just this thing that would say, don't do this or do this, move now. And when you're over in the war zone, I'd be standing in one location, that premonition would pop up and it was like, dude, move. And I'd be like, hey guys, I think we need to move. And we would move, and sure enough, mortar rounds would come in and that place was destroyed within minutes, if not sooner.
This is a wrap for Casual Saints. You can contact Chris through the CasualSaints.com website. Thank you for listening.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints with his soul set ablaze.